There's one common problem that most modern men have, and this is something that will keep you from being successful at dating. It will keep you from having a successful career. It will keep you from making deep friendships, from doing the things you want to do in life, basically being able to enjoy your life. This one main thing, and that is overthinking. Overthinking, overly mental, overanalyzing, just going through all the possibilities in your mind and what the worst case scenario, what does this person think about me? What happens if I do this? And then why didn't she text me back? Blah, 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 blah. Thoughts, overthinking, over mental. And this is, well, it's stressing you the fuck out. First of all, it's removing you from your grounded masculine power. Just to be in the head all the time. This is not where we are in our power. We want to be low in our bodies, in our balls, in our bellies, which means being more like an animal, being more in the body, more in your sensual nature, more just in the here and now, having fun. And you know what's really interesting? Because this is something that for me, just in the past few, I mean, looking back at my life, always apparent, but just really has become clear to me very recently that holy shit, this is one of the main things. Overthinking. Just overthinking, overanalyzing, too much up here. And this is something that we're not born with. Most young children don't have this. Once they reach a certain age, it usually is ingrained into them, right? But if you spend time around young kids, you see that they're exuberant. They're totally in the moment. They're not thinking before they speak. They're just saying whatever comes into their mind. They're doing whatever they feel like doing. They're moving their bodies around. They're having a great time. And they say things that offend people without even thinking about it. And they don't care. So this is an example of like, we could say this would be a more masculine quality of a man who has more of these childlike, but ultimately it's the animal nature. It's the lack of overthinking. It's the lack of trying to do just the right thing, which is a contrivance. And it's spontaneity. Spontaneity is what is the solution to this. Spontaneity and grounding. So overthinking leads to having this over analytical mind, just analyzing, thinking, just always in the head, always going through things. This leads to you being over emotional as well, because what do a lot of thoughts start to trigger? Thoughts trigger emotions. Emotions trigger impulsiveness. It triggers reactivity. And this shows up in your life as maybe someone who gravitates towards like escapist belief systems, really elaborate kind of escapist spiritual paths. And this almost always shows up as trouble in dating, trouble with women, trouble in the bedroom, performance anxiety, premature ejaculation. It comes down to thoughts, thinking too much. And this almost always leads to addictions, addictive habits. You know, obvious things like drugs and porn, maybe more subtle things like perfectionism, trying to appear perfect to everyone, distracting yourself with too much work or like over-exercising. Men tend to find these escapes for themselves, things that justify their overthinking or taking drugs and things like that to try to shut it down. So this is what it leads to. And if you're experiencing these things, I guarantee that you have some patterns of overthinking. And guess what? I do too. I have a very strong monkey mind. I always have. But I've gotten so much better personally, and I'm not claiming to be perfect. Like, I still have a lot of work to do. I'm not some master, some guru. Like, fuck, I'm just a dude like you. But I've learned a lot of things that really helped me start to become aware of when I'm in this pattern. And I learned a lot of things I'm going to share with you that help you to stop this pattern, to get back into your body, to get back into presence and spontaneity. And so this pattern really leads to nice guy syndrome. Nice guys think too much. And of course, I'm talking about like the over-niceness. Niceness is a compensation for feeling some internal flaws where you're contriving, trying to please everyone around you and appearing overly nice just as a way to get things. I'm not talking about like being a genuinely kind person. I think that's important, but the nice guy syndrome, something different. So overthinking is something that most nice guys suffer with. And you know that you have this if anytime you're in a social situation, you're like, what are they thinking about me? Oh, if I say this, what are they going to think? What should I wear? I don't know. What if I do this? Oh, it'd be so embarrassing. They might talk about me later. What would they think of me? So this is how a lot of people's minds are throughout the day. Is what do they think? What's going to happen? It's like, fuck, you know, there's no winning. And this appears in your behavior. You have this like skittish nervousness about you. There's a lack of grounding. There's a lack of presence. And as a man, you know, basically, if you're a man who wants to attract a receptive, feminine, attractive partner, then you've got to be the opposite. You've got to be a solid, grounded, confident, penetrating man, this grounded presence. You cannot do that when you are just constantly in your head, thinking, worrying. It can't happen. That creates this shrinking of an energy field. And of course, there's the why. Like, why are we such kind of neurotic beings, just thinking, worrying, these elaborate mental scenarios all the time? Of course, a lot of it does, you know, I've talked about this a lot. It stems from childhood traumas, experiences, etc. But even this, guess what? People overthink this too. The pattern here, the pattern is this overthinking, overanalysis, and it always leads to like very elaborate belief systems about different things and like a justification for why it is. For example, like, oh, it's from my childhood trauma, but there becomes this attachment to it. For me, being interested in, we could say like healing practices, energy healing, kind of these alternative, well, they're becoming a lot more mainstream now, but you know what I'm talking about, kind of the alternative holistic healing practices, a lot of, you know, maybe we could say psychotherapy too. I've been involved in this stuff for, you know, a long time, and I've seen a pattern in people who tend to identify with these traumas and these childhood experiences. There's always like, well, it's because of this, because my dad did this to me this one time, and yep, there's, I'm fucked. And so this type of person tends to get almost attached to this trauma, so to speak, and the story of it. They identify, like, it's always the story, and everyone has to know that this is the story, because then they feel justified in being that way. And so you start to identify with the trauma. And another pattern I've seen is like these people who are endlessly searching for like the right healing work. There's new like alternative healing modalities coming out every day. Quantum healing, shamanic healing, past life healing, higher self healing, chakra healing, there's just, you know, you think of it, it's there. And I'm not trying to like put down these things. There's a lot of amazing healing therapies out there for sure. But this over neurotic mind tends to like identify with this pattern of essentially being broken. There's something wrong with me. I'm traumatized and I need more healing. And it becomes this never ending thing. And reflecting on my life, there was a time in my life where I was really like this. I identified as being a broken person and was like, I need to heal. I have trauma. I have past life trauma. I have bad karma, blah, 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 blah. And so there's the story driving me to this endless search of finding just the right thing. And guess what? I never found it until I learned to just accept myself. You know what? Maybe I didn't have the perfect childhood experience. Maybe I didn't have just the exact support I needed at certain times in my life, but what the fuck ever. I can either pretend to be a victim my whole life, or I can just accept that I'm a human being. To be human is to be imperfect. It's to have flaws. I can accept that and just fucking make the most of it, like let go of the past and just be here and now. And the moment I started to do that, you know, guess what? I no longer felt like a broken person. I no longer felt like I constantly had to be, you know, working with therapists and healers and blah, blah, blah. I started to enjoy life again. And the overthinking, overanalytical person, this relates to the earth element in Chinese medicine and Taoist cosmology. The earth element, it's like our core identity. It's the ground on which you stand. It's like your home. You could think about it. Just like the earth beneath our feet, it's our center of support. Like, what would you do without the earth down there? Like, fuck, we'd be screwed. So the earth element corresponds to the mind and this like mental nature. And when the earth element is out of balance, you experience overthinking, worrying, obsession, anxiety. These things all correspond to the earth element. So it's usually a symptom of a lack of earth, a lack of like strong self-love ultimately and belief in yourself ultimately. And most of us weren't conditioned to feel good about ourselves. So it is what it is, but you can rebuild this pattern yourself. And another important pattern, I think it's really important to mention this, because again, this is something that I experienced a lot in my life, is really having extremes in your life. I think diet is a really great example of this. Like there's always a more elaborate, more extreme diet that someone has to follow. Like for me personally, back in, what was it, 2010, I was really on my spiritual path and I was reading a lot of books. I was absorbing a lot of information and I read this book on the raw vegan diet. And this book is like, people are sick because of toxicity in the body caused by cooked foods, creates mucus. So you cannot absorb any nutrients and you die. And so I'm like, fuck, okay. I have to eat raw foods. This book said so. They had scientific studies and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was okay. I have to be raw diet if I want to live. This decision was driven by worry. It was a completely emotional and mental decision. There was no logic behind it. And I just dove headfirst into this. Okay, cooked foods are gone. I started going to the store, getting tons of celery, carrots, apples, bananas, avocados. And I did the raw vegan diet for 3 months. But let me tell you, when I started this, I'm 6'1". I was 21 years old. I was about 135 pounds. I was underweight as it was because I already had some obsessive ideas around eating and foods and things. After 3 months of raw vegan, I lost 10 pounds. At the beginning, I was already like skin and bones. I've seen pictures of myself from that period of my life. I looked like I was a fucking skeleton. I was starving. I was literally starving, and I was convinced that I felt the best I had ever felt. Meanwhile, I see pictures of myself. I'm like, fuck, dude, I was falling apart. My testosterone must have been real low. And fortunately, I came to my senses and started eating cooked foods again. I was a vegetarian at that time also, you know, I started eating meat a few years later, and that helped me get some testosterone back. And so I'm sharing this because it's a lesson here in that this was just completely this like overthinking, over obsessing, just letting this like someone else's obsession and worry led me into an extreme. And I resonated with that pattern of overthinking, overanalyzing, and like the solution must be the extreme thing. So I think it's just good to look at like, am I going in these extremes of things? And I've seen this pattern in other areas of my life as well. You know, I practice Qigong very obsessively. I'll practice for 3 hours a day, but it's less obsessive now than it was in the past. I'll just say that. So I'm finding the balance with these things. So this is what being an overthinker gets you into. It gets you into these like elaborate, like quests for perfection in your life that never end. They never actually bring you to satisfaction. You know, you end up isolating yourself from others because, well, they don't have the same belief systems as me. They're pulling down my energy, blah, blah, blah. Okay, now let's talk about the solution. Overthinking. That is grounding. I want to share another little story. In 2013, I was 24 years old, stuck in another time of overthinking, obsessiveness, kind of extremes in my life. I was in a really difficult place for myself. I had been seeing this girl who was basically just leading me around. Like she, when I first met her, she had a boyfriend and was telling me, well, I'm gonna break up with him for you. I mean, now that I have some boundaries and some sense in my mind, I would be like, okay, like, no, nope, not fucking with that. But at the time, you know, she was very attractive. She was a few years older than me. She was very attractive. But I let this woman lead me around, just totally lead me on, lead me all these places. Like for months, this kind of thing was happening with her. Like, I'm sure you know the situation. She would text me sometimes, say, oh, we'll meet up. And then we'd meet up. And then she wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't hear from her for weeks. And you know what was going through my head at the time? Bear in mind, I was deep into the new age stuff at this time. I was thinking, oh, this is my twin flame. It's my soulmate. We had a past life together, and she's putting me through a test where I'm supposed to suffer so that I can grow from it. And then we're going to have the perfect relationship when I've healed all my chakras and I'm ready. This is the fucking story in my mind. We're talking like almost a year this went on. 9 months. It was almost a year. It's about 11 months. Basically this story in my mind. You know how much bullshit I put myself through? How much suffering? How much like just this obsessive, you know what I could have done? I could have said, fuck this. I'm going to not worry about women and just date and just have fun. That's what I would have done now. I'm a little more rational now, but I was not then. I was over mental, over emotional, over just fucking neurotic, delusional, straight up. Just overthinking, over analyzing these incredible stories my mind was coming up with, which was complete bullshit. And so I was coming out of that. I was also following some very straight up cultish, you know, new agey spiritual stuff of like, oh yeah. Spiritual ascension is coming. The world is going to basically blow up. There's going to be the solar flare. Earth's fucked. Everyone's going to die. You have to transition to another dimension before that happens. And you've got about 6 months. Like there was a timeline. You know, first it was 2012, then it was like 2013, then blah, 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 blah. The elusive future utopia. You know, it's a common theme in all religions, but it's never here, right? So I'm in that mindset as well. I'm doing like Kundalini yoga. Like, fuck, man. I gotta clear my chakras. I gotta ascend. I'm fucked if I stay here. It's like, I was literally living in a delusion. Like, I was fucking crazy, you know? And I wasn't even doing drugs at this time. I mean, I was smoking a little weed here and there. I was doing an herb called kratom, which is a very addictive, not something I recommend. But overall, you know, I wasn't doing hard drugs, but this was my mind. It was fucked up. It was not healthy. And it was bringing me suffering. And eventually, I hit this point where I had a bit of a breakdown. Like, felt like my whole reality was crumbling into nothing. Felt like I was going absolutely crazy. I think I was experiencing a bit of this Kundalini thing as well. Like this energy just pumping up my spine. That may have been a contributing factor. That may have been just another delusion. Can't say. Basically it was April 2013, and for about a week this was going on, and it felt like I was living in a bad LSD trip. Except I didn't take LSD, so there was like no answer of how do I get out of this? Just like fractal thought patterns, my reality melting down, just weird time loop things. It's fucking weird. It was really weird. And a friend of mine invited me to do a breathwork circle, basically. And I was like, sure, well, I don't know what it is, but I'm desperate. I need anything. And I did a practice, which I teach in my courses now. It's called transformational breathwork. Fucking awesome. It was a very psychedelic experience, but it was purging. It was cleansing. And I, in this experience, I saw how I had been seeking outside of myself. these things, these obsessive trying to like grasp and pull on things through these like elaborate soulmate fantasies around women, weird spiritual delusions I was in, all kinds of things. And it just became obvious to me of like, wow, I've accumulated all this bullshit. And I came back into the space of being 6 years old and how I felt at that time, where I didn't have all these elaborate belief systems and blah, 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 mental stories. I was just here in my body, in this like beauty that the natural world is, just playing, having fun. And it was like, holy shit, I need to come back into that. And I was like, I've been chasing women, just putting myself through all this pain, chasing the wrong women. I was basically starving myself because I had all this like propaganda in my mind about too much food is toxic and you gotta be a breatharian to be more spiritual. Like, fuck, man. And I just felt all that poof, dissolve. And I was like, holy shit, these are like other people's belief systems and things that I've been acting all these programs. And it's leading me nowhere. I don't have to do that anymore. I can just enjoy the moment. I can just enjoy life. And this was such a dramatic, powerful healing shift for me. So what I started to realize was, wow, I have all these elaborate mental things just pulling me into anxiety and suffering. And when I can just play, just be in my body, just be here and now, everything feels awesome. When I'm not just thinking about all this stupid shit, just being, it feels amazing. And I'll share with you as well that what I've noticed now is talking a lot about these like nice guy patterns, social anxiety, feeling really restricted in your personality. This comes from overthinking. It comes from overanalyzing, thinking, okay, well, if I do this, what are they going to think? You're just constantly thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh, what's going to happen? When you stop doing that and you allow yourself to just be, then you are concerned about things. You're not thinking about what people are thinking about you. You're just being, you're just acting. And the more you can ground yourself into that, really that's the solution to a lot of problems that men have. In the bedroom, issues in the bedroom, it's overthinking. You're thinking, what do they think about me? Is my dick big enough? Is it hard enough? What if it's not hard? What if I come too soon? It's just what if? It's these endless list of what ifs. Where did this come from? How do we humans develop this? I'm not entirely sure, but I can tell you that it doesn't serve us. So the solution is grounding. It's getting back in your body. And even this, the overthinkers, myself included, they turn into an elaborate thing. I'm like, okay, I have to be barefoot in nature. I have to wrap copper coils around myself. And I have to like visualize roots, blah, blah, blah. You know, just another fucking mental story. No, I'm not talking about that. Like, yeah, there is technical energetic grounding practices. But what I'm talking about is just being, just doing, just being. Again, being an animal, fucking doing somersaults down the hill, jumping around, doing cartwheels. Like we get restricted in our movement patterns. We only do, this is another interesting thing. What do children do? They fucking move their body very spontaneously. We're terrified to do this as adults. Like I was afraid to even dance because I have to move in the way the matrix tells me to move. If I don't, then I will be judged and I will be an outsider and it will glitch the matrix. Like, fuck, you see it? So it's like, move your body. I'll give you a list of things that help me get into this state of just spontaneous play and enjoyment and grounding. And what this isn't necessarily is like working out, yoga, qigong, breath work. I do these things. They can help me get more into that state, but they can also be, you know, because it's goal oriented. It's more of an adult thing. Like I'm doing this so that, you know, there's still kind of a story behind it sometimes. I got to develop my chi. Even that can be a story, I'm realizing. So it's like, even those things can become rigid. They're important, but it's a different thing. What I'm talking about is play. Complete play. There's no like thing you're trying to accomplish. You're just trying to be in the present moment. That's all. So for me, it's like swimming. I love being in the water and just swimming around. Like recently I was in Florida playing in the ocean. I love to play with the waves, jump in the waves, had a boogie board, ran those waves. So much fun. Just total like inner child in the moment, completely in the present. There's no thoughts and worries. It's just, I'm just here and now. Martial arts does this for me most of the time. Sometimes I get a bit goal oriented when I'm sparring and things, but I try to make it very playful because I don't have any intention of being a great like fucking Bruce Lee or something. It's just a fun thing for me. And I like to go outside and just like, you know, do my kicks, my punches, roll around on the ground. It makes me feel like a kid. And I really feel in my body from that. Really grounding for me. Creating music. I used to do this professionally and there was definitely kind of the, you know, point where it became work, but now it's just completely a hobby for me, which is great because it frees up my artistic expression in it. And when I make music now, I have this intentionality of like, it's like I'm creating a world. I'm creating this whole world of experience for me to live in and just be in this thing. Like that's my process, my creative process when I'm making music now. And I love it. And it really just brings me into this very just in the present creative being. I think a lot of art does this for people, and for me it's music. Same thing with like playing an instrument. You know, I've been playing guitar since I was 12 years old, and I gravitated towards more expressive and a lot of like very technically challenging things to play, because I remember, well, actually I realized this on a bad mushroom trip, but it's like, okay, playing guitar, playing very complex music, it's like I can't be thinking about anything else and be able to play it properly. And if I can, it means I need to learn something even more difficult. So like something that really keeps all, like there's nothing else I could be thinking about except what's here and now. Things like that. Basically, you'll have to find your own. Use my list as an example, but how can you play? How can you move your body in ways you don't usually without any goal other than just to be grounded and present and have fun? Maybe it's playing frisbee with the friends. Socializing can be a big one. Dancing, you know, you'll have to find your own. So basically, the more that you're able to get out of this constantly thinking, over-worrying, overthinking, and just be more like an animal, just be here and now, it's going to do amazing things for your confidence, your presence. Like you'll enjoy being around people more because now you can play with them, so to speak. Like you're in your play, you're in your presence, you're in your groundedness, and you're not concerned about impressing them or them thinking whatever about you. You're just being. That spontaneity starts to carry over. So basically, the more you can integrate this, it really is like the inner child, this playful presence throughout the things that you're doing in your life. And I'm not talking about escapism here. I'm not talking about like, yeah, you have to like try to recreate your childhood or blah, blah, blah. No, it's just about bringing that quality into life and allowing yourself to have play, to have these things that bring you more into your body and into your being and out of your head. And that is going to have dramatic implications for your relationships. This alone, if you can bring this into the bedroom, just spontaneity and play and just being grounded in your body, I mean, that's a huge thing I focus on in the Sex God course. That's one of the main keys to being a king in the bedroom, because you're not going to have ejaculation control. You're not going to have issues with premature ejaculation when you aren't overthinking and overworrying. It's as simple as that. All right, my friend, I hope that you took something away from this video. No, it's kind of a rant, but there was a purpose to it. And this has been such a huge insight for me. And it's really changed my life, implementing what I've been talking about here. And if you really, you know, take this into account and start to embody some of it, you'll notice some dramatic changes in your happiness, your health, your confidence, and just feeling fulfilled as a man in this world. Best wishes, brother.